Hey gang, Scott with the Scott Gertner Group, back with podcast number 3, and this is an important one. This is one I've waited to do for years because we do work with a lot of seniors on downsizing, and it's traumatic. This video will unlock a key to make it easy. Absolutely bring downsizing with ease. If you don't believe me, listen and watch. You're going to like this. Thank you guys for coming in today. I don't know if you've heard the genesis of how you got here, but you know, our specialty, in real estate, we are what they call geographic farmers. What that means is that we market to one specific area, and our specific area, the zip code in our specific area happens to be the highest percentage of baby boomers in the United States.
Amazing. Yeah, that is unbelievable. Yep.
So it's an older crowd.
Right.
And so we work with a lot of people. In fact, what we've been doing lately for the last few years, I sold many of these homes 25 years ago as I built some of these communities with the developers, and we've been moving these people on to the next stage of their lives. So this is a big part of our lives is helping seniors downsize or move on. One of the most common is probably moving to assisted living or something, but a big one is when they suddenly realize or their family realizes that they're vulnerable and that they need an advocate with them in town, and so they need to move closer to family, that type of thing. So this is something we deal with all the time. We've worked with many providers, we've done it ourselves, and through the process, our team found you guys moving forward and were blown away. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You are in many ways an answer to a prayer, and I don't just mean ours. I think other people do. So thank you for that. So tell us a little bit about how you guys got into this.
Sure, yeah. So basically, we moved here about 2 years ago from Madison, Wisconsin. And we came on vacation and just never left, essentially. So
we've heard that story.
Yes,
well, I don't know
it's
if you
really
know that.
It's true. But before then, we still do have a business in Madison, Wisconsin. We opened it about 9 years ago, and it's been a tremendous company to own. We have about 40 employees there now, and it's going strong. So it's going strong there with me now here in Zachary. Is here also, so we are now starting our second branch of Moving Forward in Arizona. So we started a little bit last year, but mostly this year we just kind of are up and going.
Okay, so fairly new to the valley for that portion of
Yes.
You know, by the way, you're a native after 5 years.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I always tell
people my kids are the only natives I've ever met. You have to make them to meet them. So you're about as good as guests.
All right, nice.
How did you pick this business?
Yeah, so basically, I was at a networking event with a friend of mine, and I was kind of at a crossroads about getting, we had sold a business we owned before, my husband and I, and so I was deciding what to do, and I had worked with St. Vincent de Paul a lot, and I noticed that people would call St. Vincent de Paul and say, boy, I have the stuff in the attic, I just can't get it down in the crawl space, I want to donate it, and so there's this need that I saw in Madison for seniors who needed help with things they wanted to get rid of, and so I asked my friend, like, hey, do you think I could maybe help seniors get rid of their stuff, and he's like, well, there's already an association that's what they do. They focus on making those transitions from the family home into senior living or whatnot as smooth as possible. And so, I mean, you might want to check out the National Association of Senior Move Managers. I went to conference and I started my company right away. So it was that quick.
So I want to know more about that organization because that sounds great. But I'm reminded that we had a huge discovery as we used to do a lot of downsizing seminars. And we were shocked. I thought that people would be intimidated by the move. They weren't used to Arizona real estate, things like that. There was none of that. They didn't care. That was no problem. What do we do with our stuff? Was the biggest concern. It was crazy.
It's huge. Huge. Yeah. And I feel even since we've been here, I feel even like there are a couple other people part of our association here, but I still feel like it's this unknown need in this area that people aren't I look at pictures online and I see houses and there's like all this stuff like, and you know, on the listings, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to go in there and help clear out some of this clutter. So I think it's this unknown that we're kind of tapping into now. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's going to resonate with a lot of the people listening to this as a big deal. And I have seen, got a little bit of enlightenment in my own life. My mother died during COVID, and she went to her grave angry that we did not want her china or her silverware.
Yeah, we have a lot of discussions based on those topics all the time. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
People just taste have changed, but it's a lot more than that too.
Yeah, and you know, our focus is really finding good homes for items, and I think that's a key to what we do is, you know, we as you want to give things to your family members. Yeah. You know, we talk to our clients, say, you know, it's great, we can ask your family if they'd like the china, but you have to remember that they might have their own styles. It's not that they don't want it, but you know, maybe they just can't use it right now. But you know what, there are so many people in, you know, with the nonprofits we work with, people love your china and will use it. It just may not be this, you know, the specific person you had in mind, but is it okay if we share it with somebody else? So we really are careful when we're discussing finding homes for these items. It's a huge part of what we do.
That makes perfect sense. And if nothing else, you alleviate a little bit of their anxiety about the whole thing.
Oh, it makes it so much easier. Yeah, it's so much easier, for sure.
So tell me more about the overriding association that got you involved.
Sure. Okay, so basically the association's been around over 20 years now, and it was started, our headquarters is in Illinois for the association. But basically it was started by a lady in Minnesota. She was a big driving force to it. And she's like, boy, you know, there's such a need for, it's so traumatic to go through this downsizing process. It's emotionally hard, physically hard. You haven't moved in 50 years. We need to start helping people in this situation. So they started working together and they formed this organization. And a lot of those members are still part of this organization today. So, and basically because we're in their personal space, you know, we're going through nightstands, dressers, all these areas, right? We go through every single area of the house. So it's very important that you have code of ethics that you follow. And that's the biggest thing that, one of the things that we call them NASM, the association.
Oh, yeah.
We could say NASM. So NASM is very big into the code of ethics. And we all follow this code of ethics. And it's very important to us that we are respectful, non-judgmental. We go in almost as like a family member. Although it's much easier usually for our clients to work with us than it would be to work with their own family.
Layer right?
Absolutely.
If you could actually find somebody you could trust that was not your kids, would be helpful.
Yes. And so we are, we have people in tears all the time before, during, and after the process because they're just so thankful that, you know, they're able to get to the next point in life and it wasn't nearly as stressful as they thought it would be.
You know, that reminds me, one of the things we used to do is we had stickers that people could go in and label everything in the house. And this one was for the kids to look at. This one was garbage. This one was consignment, stuff like that. But we gave them the stickers. And you're there, I think, to coach them a little bit on helping them on making that decision, what it is, right?
Yeah.
And we actually do the sticker system too. So like when we went to that house, like, oh man, you guys are kind of on top of it. So like we have like different color schemes to sort of prioritize what the clients want. So like, for example, pink is that staying with the client. That's really important to them. They want to make sure that goes with them to their new home. Then we also have like green, for like selling, and then different colors for like family members. So that's really just important to make sure that, the client just knows that we're not going to miss anything, that they feel comfortable with everything. Everything just stays really organized. And it's just very, very clear for everybody involved.
Well, and by the way, we probably stole that from them. As we created our downsizing seminar, it was all over the internet. It was probably from the association,
possibly.
But, you know, we don't counsel them on, you know, are you really going to use that again? Mm-hmm. Do you help them with that a little bit? But kind of making a better decision on something, or you just have them do it on their own?
Well, so we're really just there just to help them navigate it themselves. So we, at the end of the day, our goal is just to keep them in control. So they have all the power for it. We're just really there just to sort of ask them certain questions like, what's some of these items that just really bring you like that happiness? We're just really important on finding those items that really mean a lot to them. And if they need all the cups, they need all the cups. And and so really we're never gonna force anything on them. You need to get rid of all of your plates. Like that's not at all what we're there for. We're just there to help them navigate a really stressful event just to make it not quite so bad.
That makes perfect sense. And you've got the organization system. Now, what do you do with the stuff they don't want? I mean, how do you manage that?
Yeah. So we have a lot of great contacts that we've developed here in Arizona. We have a lot of consignment stores, auction houses, and we sort of have a almost like a hierarchy of, all right, so this item is a really high-value, expensive item, so we have this sort of high-value, expensive consignment store that we would contact, and we would just try to do our best to sell everything for our client and get them sort of the best that they can. And then if all of the consignment stores pass on the items, but they're still in really good condition, we definitely try to donate all of those items. So we try not to throw away basically as little as possible. So like plates that are in good condition, such as like the china, like we were talking about, we don't want to throw any of that away. Families would definitely love to be able to use that. So then we next goal, we try to donate everything else. So basically our goal is just to make sure everything has a home, so that the client knows that their items are really valuable, they're really important, and they can kind of get the best value for it while also trying to contribute positive to the society as well.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And
yeah, well, just to kind of go back to what we were saying about like that control, that we give that back to the clients. And so that's really important. And sometimes when we're interacting with the family members, sometimes like when you're talking to your mother, you might say things like, "Mom, you don't need all these cookie sheets." So what we'll say is, you know, it looks like you have 5 cookie sheets. How often are you baking? Do you feel like maybe you could just take one with you and you could part with the others? So we use these phrases that are very different that gives them control. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I know, okay, they're moving into an apartment with only, you know, 5 kitchen cabinets. So what am I going to say to talk them in or talk through this with them? And then they're still making the decisions, right? So that's really important. And then with that, when we first start working with a client, every situation is super unique, right? Sometimes they have family, sometimes they don't.
Yep.
Sometimes the house is, you know, somebody's passed away and we have to just go in and find homes for items. And we're just dealing with the family member in New York. So again, we discuss things like, you know, we take pictures, we do, you know, video chats. We say, okay, here, you know, we kind of lay out some items. We found this jewelry, we found this money. Is it okay if we ship this to you? So we have all these discussions through the process with the family members, either with them being there with us, or if they're not there with us, then we discuss things a lot over the phone. So our focal point is we're just there to guide them through this process. The families are making the decisions, and we're doing everything we can to make it smooth and easy for them. So then we always start out with a new client visit, and it's at that time we kind of discuss, okay, do you have family? You know, what size apartment are you moving into? You know, all these questions, we discuss that at the new client visit. That's really important. Yeah. So when we usually people will call us and they'll think we're a moving company. So
yeah.
They'll call us on the phone and say, yeah, I just need to move a few items from my home to my mom's moving to assisted living. Can just come and move some items. And we always back up and we say, okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. Are you going to need help packing or unpacking? And they're like, oh, you do that too? Like, yes, of course. So maybe we should, why don't we come over to your house? We'll do a walkthrough with your family. We'll discuss, you know, kind of where you're moving to, discuss sorting, packing, unpacking, and preparing the house to go on the market. So is it okay if we come over for a new client visit? And they usually say, yeah, great. So we go over there and we just do a walkthrough of the house.
You know, the labeling process sounds phenomenal, gives them control. But so what's it like though? Somebody, I call you and I say, hey, I got to move. Will you guys move me? What's the whole process like?
Sure. So basically when people call us and they just say, hey, you know, can you just help me move my mother or whatnot? I'm like, sure. But, you know, can we talk through it a little bit? So on the phone, we ask them some questions like, you know, when are you moving? Typically what we do is a new client visit where we come and meet with the family because every situation is unique. So that way we could discuss if you have people helping you sort and pack, who's going to do the unpacking and setting up the new apartment, making the beds, plugging in the coffee pot. Is it okay if we come over for a new client visit so we could discuss that in greater detail? And then we go over and we usually do a walkthrough of the house and we discuss, okay, what furniture is most important to you? You know, what items are key that are being moved with you? We kind of talk through that. The time frame is very important because lots of times people wait until something urgent happened. And so usually it's like we have to move next week. So
yes.
That's our world. Mm-hmm. So if people say they call me and say they need to move in 3 months, I'm like, oh my goodness, almost like 90% of our clients, it's within weeks that we have to sort, pack, move, unpack, get them situated. So we do the new client visit. And at that time, again, we walk through the house, identify the furniture, discuss if they would like us to help do the sorting, packing, unpacking, recreating the new apartment so it looks like home on move day. And from there, then we leave a quote based on, usually it's a volume. I mean, we have some houses that are, you know, 1,200 square feet and some that are 5,000 square feet. So depending on volume, depending on if they want us to deal with the items that are remaining after the client has moved. So there's all these factors. And sometimes it's too big of a, it's even too big for the family to think about the whole process.
Yeah.
So lots of times we'll break it into phase one and phase two. Phase one is, okay, let's just focus on the move. Let's, you know, focus on the items that are key to you. We'll go ahead and pack. We'll move, unpack, get you settled. And then we'll come back and deal with the house after you move. So, and then we quote for two different projects, essentially. So, and that works out really well.
I was going to say, that seems like a less overwhelming way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing is every time I move, I get, you know, I think, oh, it'll be pretty quick. And then I get to the end of it, and I got this stuff, and I'm like, I'm just going to throw it away.
Right.
You're gonna be just done. And it makes it so much easier at the end. Like, I don't care. Just get rid of it like that.
Yes.
Or people have a garage sale, you know, by the final day, just fine, just take it. I don't want money. Just please take it like that.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
So you do involve families at some times?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yes, families are. And we actually, every day after we work with a family, we send a progress report to the family members, whoever is our. Sometimes we have a main contact. So we'll have the client and then a son or daughter. So we kind of do a progress report. So we tell them what's been done during the day. So that communication is huge between us and the family members. And then again, different partners like a realtor. Sometimes we'll kind of let them know like when it's time to hand the baton to them and let them know. And every realtor is different. So again, we you know, some realtors want us to kind of stage a little bit. Some want to do their own staging. Some want the house empty, want a deep clean, whatever they want. Like, so we just kind of work with whatever works for the realtor involved. And sometimes we'll do pay at closing as well. So some realtors like that, because then we just give the invoice to the realtor and the realtor gives it to the title company and then we get paid when the house sells. So we have different ways to work through all these little details.
Well, and that detail for you guys listening is really what brought them in here, the communication. My team raved about the communication. I didn't get to see a lot of it, but they don't rave that often. So it was important. And if I'm a family member, I mean, if you're including me in it, do you ever do that with a Zoom with them as the initial meeting?
Honestly, once we have actually, like, after the new client visit and maybe we work one day with the client, the family is like, they're very comfortable and they're happy with the report. They're like, just keep my mom happy. I'm happy. She's it's just great. Just keep doing what you're doing. So it's more like that kind of everyone is so relieved that you know, we're kind of coming in and handling these things that seem so overwhelming.
Yep.
Like, would bring the family, like, I can't miss work anymore. I mean, all these things. And we come in, we just relieve the stress from the client and the family members. And it's just like, so very seldom. I mean, I can't even, maybe twice I can think of when a family member kind of wanted us to do like a Zoom and see how things were going.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're like, just send us the report. They know where we are with hours. Some jobs are 25 hours, some projects are 100, some are, you know, 500. It's all over the board. So, yep, they like to know where we are at the process, but they're content. So,
oh, that's perfect. So that description sounds like somebody that's going to a smaller place, maybe locally. You also do them, I think from earlier you had said how you can move the place into another state, even if they're going to another state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And sort of kind of going back to that NASM like we were talking about, since it's a nationally recognized organization, there are some people who work in NASM in different states. So if someone's moving, say, from Arizona to California, we could work with our client and kind of get like all the sorting, packing, and the move sort of coordinated on our end here and work with the same NASM certified company in California to sort of do that unpack and to sort of that settling in. So we share with them like the pictures, the floor layouts, really everything that's necessary to make sure that the client just has a very smooth and seamless transition. So even if we physically are not there in California with them, we know that another accredited company is, and they've had a lot of communication with us to make sure that it's just very smooth for the client and everything just feels just like home right as they walk in.
You glossed over that pretty quickly, but you said you actually share with them the floor plan of the house. And
We do, yes, sir. So, like, I would, like, for example, I would take a bunch of pictures and measurements of the different furniture, And basically just the, like, for example, even like a pot placement can be really important for a client, or like if she always puts like her purse like on a desk right next to her chair, just little things like that. And just having those dimensions and the pictures and just the communication with them is really vital. So that the client just, it feels like a really almost seamless, they don't even necessarily feel like they moved.
No, that's
so
awesome.
It feels great when they get home.
That would alleviate a lot of the stress, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yep.
And then what about if they're not moving, though? If they just have too much stuff. We have one client in particular, really, like, you know, we work in this environment where people live in lifestyle communities, particularly the ones that I sold 25 years ago. In the beginning, it was crazy good. I worked for the developer, and we had all these parties because that's how we got referrals, you know. So we helped people to meet each other. They loved it, and they've got, in the community, they've got groups that they're a part of. There's Bible studies, and there's pickleball groups. There's just any art groups. So they love their community, and they don't want to leave, but they also know they need a different level. So some of them would like to age in place. Do you have any of that?
Yes, actually, NASM, our association, has a special little platform about aging in place. So it's really important. So basically, lots of seniors, I mean, they love their home, they love the atmosphere they're in. And, you know, there's a time period where they could still manage, you know, live at home and everything's fine. They can manage their house. They just need to do some changes. So the biggest thing that we would do is we would go in and just discuss again, like Zachary was saying earlier, figuring out those key items that they use on a day-to-day basis, right? And we start there, and then we just try to make it a safe environment. So basically, you know, we look at where things are located. We look at if they need, you know, sometimes you need grab bars placed on different areas, just different things like that to make the home safe. And so that's a huge part of what we would do too. And sometimes it's even, you know, just connecting them with just different services that can kind of provide even like a Meals on Wheels type of thing, just different things like that that we can recommend. But our biggest part is really finding the items that they don't need or use that has become clutter, just trying to help them create that safe environment. So taking away the items almost as if they were moving and just kind of having their everyday living space clear from any clutter so that it's safe. I mean, falls is the kicker. You know what I mean? That's the thing that usually makes somebody not be able to live in their house anymore.
Right.
So that's the thing that's very important. It's like, okay, we need to make sure it's not fall hazard. And then sometimes we have to make sure that if someone's in a wheelchair but they could still live in their house, we just have to make sure that there's paths and that they can safely move around their house to age in place as long as possible.
And so for some of those things, trip hazards and or just a wheelchair, you have people that can do that kind of thing, to install the grab bars and those type things?
Yes, so we would have those connections that would go in there. And that would be something that I would have somebody kind of under my umbrella. So lots of things we do on our own. Like we would handle the decluttering, things like that, cleaning, things like that. But if we need like a different level of deep clean, if we need some handyman work, a painter, those things we would bring in a partner of ours who is, again, insured because it's very important to us. There's no getting around that. They have to be a true company. They have to be insured. Otherwise, they can't work with us. So that's very important. But we'd bring in somebody like that who maybe specializes in grab bars, things like that, to then do the installation. So that would kind of fall under our umbrella of what we coordinate. So in that situation, we are more coordinating some of these things to take place and happen. And we are not the ones physically doing the packing and we're not physically the ones doing the work as
the installation.
Yes,
or what
as we
you.
Do more of that. We do the packing, you know, that more of that moving, downsizing part of things.
Well, and then you touched on another part of the lifestyle that I wouldn't have thought would be in your purview, but we've done videos with the company Caring Core and Foothills Caring Core.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're wonderful.
They're phenomenal.
Yep, absolutely.
And most people don't even know that's available to them, the Meals on Wheels and all the rest of it.
Right.
So you could advise them on some of those services?
Totally. Yep, absolutely. That's really important. Yep, exactly.
So those are some of the bigger things too, but what's too small of a call? If somebody's, you know, we've had people just have too much furniture, that kind of a thing. Is that an appropriate call just so they can at least begin the process? You mentioned phases. I mean, would that be an appropriate first phase when they just aren't sure what they want to do, but they know they have a little too much stuff?
Well, the thing is, I think how to answer that question is basically when people call us, they don't exactly know what they need, right? And they think there's no way I can move out of this 3,000 square foot house. So maybe I'll just think about it now. Maybe I'll do a little bit here and there, and I'll move like in a year, right? So again, the overwhelming sense that this brings on to families, that they can't absorb the possibility that they can move within weeks or months, right? So some for those calls, if they tell me they want to move in a year or two, I say, no problem. Maybe let's just do this new client visit. We could talk about furniture we might need to remove. But again, once they start the process, they want to do it. They just can't imagine that it can be done. So they start with that phone call, and we'll if they only want to work 5 hours for the next, 5 months, that's fine. 5 hours a week or whatever they want is fine with us. But what we, in our experience, they want to get to the next part of their life, right? They want to do this. They just can't imagine it can be done. So once we get through like 1 or 2 days, like, oh my God, I've never seen this garage this clean. Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going. And then before you know it, the process is over. So we do get those calls and we do start, but usually it just moves down the track pretty quickly because they're so, if they want to do it, right? They're so happy to do it that they just keep going once they start. So, but again, we work at their pace, and we have some clients that we've had them for years, and they just kind of want us to come back and just kind of keep downsizing, almost like an age in place type of idea.
Right.
They just need to kind of, we do work with some people who have hoarding tendencies.
Yeah.
And so basically, and we do have discussions about trying to stop the hoarding tendencies. However, sometimes they kind of fall behind a little bit or fall back a little bit. So we kind of go back and we just kind of rediscuss. We try to get them over that hurdle and just kind of keep as a process. So there are clients we've had for a long time. So it just depends. Every situation is super, super unique.
So you're kind of a counselor, psychiatrist.
Yeah. And so again, Zachary, his degree is in psychology, so that comes in handy sometimes because, again, you're dealing with these emotions, and some things might look like trash, but it's not trash. And you have to be really careful that you're respecting their items, especially in situations where somebody is hoarding, has some hoarding tendencies, that you can't just assume that it's all trash because there might be some memories, some things that we need to discuss with them. And it's huge. And so we work really well with people who have those emotional trials and tribulations.
Well, I'm glad you said that, though, for a lot of people that that some things that don't look valuable are. And I think that's important to people. Mm-hmm. How would they know? Well, particularly if you're working directly with them, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. Yeah, it's really important. And I think it's really nice, too, that, again, like we kind of touched on earlier, as we are having these discussions and there are items that could be sold and donated, again, our company is unique here because we don't do estate sales. So for us, again, we feel like it's easier on the clients and their family members just to have the items go out to different organizations,
right,
consignment shops, auction houses, as opposed to having people come into your house for an estate sale. And we feel like that just kind of prolongs the process. And once somebody's ready to make the switch and kind of move on and start the new chapter of their life, we feel like by just sending things off that have value to be sold as opposed to doing estate sales is really a nice option for our families. So we kind of have gone that route over the years as well.
Well, for us, that's important. Many of the people we work with are in gated communities, can't really do an estate sale.
Okay.
So that becomes even more important, but it's probably always a more practical way to do it, but that'll help them over that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
Something I wanted to ask. I was thinking that I try and talk to everybody we interview to see how they got into it, because then you can hear that they have a heart for the business, and you clearly have a heart for this. But generally, there's also been something that they learned after they got into it that was really different or a difficult hurdle they've had. Do you have any stories like that that have happened?
Oh, yeah, lots of different avenues I could take with this. So do you want my different experiences? I think when I first went to that conference I mentioned to you, I made, I kind of was thinking of what should I call my company. So I'm like, oh, I'll call it a little help, right? So I get to conference and I have my little pretend cards like for my business that I'm about to start with a little help, and people kind of looked at me like, oh, that's kind of an interesting name. And then I came back from conference and I did a couple of pro bono jobs, as I'm getting started with this company. And it is not a little help. It's a ton of work. And like right there, I'm like, okay, that's not a good name for this company. So that was one of my first things. It's like even it was more than I even anticipated. Like I hired my first staff like months, like within 2 months. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a guy. I need muscle. I need some more ladies to help me. It just kept evolved so quickly in Madison, Wisconsin. Like it just there was so we just kept growing. So that was kind of just and the people that I need to work for me, they have to be of this certain breed of being strong, organized, polite, like more of a social worker type of hat. So you have to wear all these hats to work in a company like ours. So the employees that I have are just phenomenal. Like and they've brought them in back in Madison. They've been with me since I opened. Like it's just they're phenomenal. So you got to find the right staff. Because you need all these traits. You can't just be an organizer and not be able to listen to all these other things. You can't just be strong. You need to be polite and you need to be patient all the time.
An empathetic personality, somebody who's clearly into giving.
Really important, yeah.
And that's a cool contrast. I mean, you get movers these days. I mean, they come in and got face tattoos, neck tattoos, you know? You're thinking, this guy's looking at my stuff, just going to come back tomorrow, you know?
Well, it's really important to have great staff. It's huge. And I think it's been definitely our key to success is being able to align ourselves with key staff or key partners has been, you know, huge for us. And a funny story, I guess, that I have when we were cleaning out a house way back when I opened, and there was so much, like the room was filled, like, you know, floor to ceiling, and I'm just sorting, and all of a sudden I noticed there's like a grand piano in the room. Like, you couldn't even see the piano. Like, there's stuff all, I'm like, wait.
Look what
like,
I got.
Like, I missed it.
We didn't know that. We forgot.
We did the walkthrough. I'm like, how could I miss a piano? But so just to give you an idea of like the volume of items that we have worked with over the years, it was pretty funny. So.
That is so good. And Zachary, how long have you been working with?
So I've really been working for several years. When I first started, I was a mover back in Wisconsin. I worked in the summers. And then sort of over time, I've started taking more like an administrative role. So I did sort of like just the client information, sort of the financial side. And then since I moved here pretty recently in February, I've really started trying to take on every hat I can here. So not only am I sort of still doing those things, but now I'm also being able to work with the client, which has been a really fun change. I get to do some of the marketing, which has been really fun. So I've really been a part of it far out, but now I'm really excited to really be sort of a big asset and sort of a key contributor.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think you both are an asset and you clearly are into contribution. So thanks for what you give to the world. And before we wrap up, what else would you like to say? That maybe I missed people are concerned with that they should know. Yeah, is there anything?
Yeah, so I just think the biggest thing is, the thing that people are kind of surprised about is most of our calls don't come from the clients themselves. So usually it's not the client who calls us. It's actually either senior communities, it's realtors, it's family members, friends who call us to bring us in. So it's not always the client. So it's usually these other folks that kind of bring us in initially, and then that's important because then sometimes the client is kind of worried like, oh, I think I could do it myself, or, you know, I think my kids can help me. So then when we come in, we really are able to talk to the client about how we can help and how it'll make it easier on them and then their family members as well. So that's something that's kind of interesting, you know, I feel like. And then I think just the other thing is that once we finish with a client, like we always send out these evaluations on, okay, how did things go for you? And the fact that we are able to recreate the home that they have right now into their new smaller apartment, and they walk in and they feel like Zachary was saying, like these key points, like the things that they need are in the right spots. Being able to kind of have that happen is really important, especially with people who have some, you know, dementia issues going on, or like we work with Alzheimer's. We have people who hire us to, you know, first move the mom from independent living, then assisted, then memory care. So we go through these stages with family members as well. So again, I think the families really appreciate just having somebody to kind of lean on through this process. That's super challenging, that a lot of people don't realize how hard it is on the seniors going through this. So we kind of hope to make that easier, you know, for them.
That's huge. So. And that brings up, you know, so I've been selling this one area for 30 years. So many of these people I sold 25, 26 years ago, and I'll talk to them for years, literally, as they're going through it. And I can hear that they're just intimidated. They don't know what to do, but I can't really help it. But you know what the way I, my worst case scenario that I've started explaining to some of these people is that we talk about it. It seems like a good idea. We continue to just kind of massage through it, and then there's some event. Something happens. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the one that really brings it home was the wife was bringing something across the street, some food, to somebody that was sick, and she tripped and fell, landed on her face. It was really kind of a horrific mm-hmm. injury. And all of a sudden, it was urgent, and the family's calling me from Boston. We got to get them out. They need an advocate. And it, you know, we've been doing this for 3 years. We could have done this so long ago with no stress, and now we got to get it done in a month.
Right.
So it was awful for everybody. So if you're listening to this, if you're one of these guys, and there's a few of you who know I'm talking to you, really, give them a call. Start a conversation. It's worth their time. It's worth your time. Just give them a call and start a conversation. Honestly, I think you'll see what we see. It's from the heart. This is a great asset for you, for us, for the community. Give them a call. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.